Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my wife, Maura. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Well, this week's guest is Brian Gohl. Brian is a biohacker, avid self-experimenter, wellness expert, yoga teacher, and health coach. He's been interested in health, wellness, and exercise for many years. His father first taught him to do push-ups and sit-ups when he was about 5 years old. And a few years after that, he began making his own dumbbells out of garden posts and broken bricks. When he turned 15, he was finally allowed to join the local gym and began hitting the weights with fierce commitment. And after nearly 12 years of exploring wellness and exercise in all its forms, he settled into vegetarianism for 7 years under the impression that it was indeed the healthiest way to eat. After suffering various degenerative conditions, mostly in the form of near constant debilitating joint pain and serious digestive issues, he finally relented to the fact that his diet may have been playing a role in his failing health. That's when he discovered the Bulletproof Diet and biohacking. Fast forward 4 years and he's healthier and stronger than he has ever been, mostly thanks to a low-carb, high-fat diet and the variety of biohacks that he practices every day. One of those biohacks is red light therapy. Red light therapy is one of Brian's favorite biohacks with which he's noticed wonderful benefits. That's why he decided to co-found Red Light Rising, using his passion for sharing the principles of wellness and spreading the word about red light therapy. Today, we'll be talking about red light therapy, among a few other topics. Welcome to the show, Brian Gohl. What's up, man?
Amazing. Thank you so much for that amazing introduction.
Oh, man.
I couldn't have said it better.
It's our pleasure, man. This is one of those areas that I think a lot of people are interested in. I think we kind of know that it's good, like we're seeing the research, but now we want to get into the more practical uses. So it's great to have you on, man.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much. It's so great to be here. It's so great to talk to you guys. It's an absolute honor and a pleasure. I love talking about this. So let's get it underway.
I love it. Well, we always start off with the question, what is the most critical problem you are currently trying to solve?
Well, one of my big passions is trying to feel better myself, because as you mentioned in your intro there, I spent a long time feeling really, really bad in my body, having a lot of pain, a lot of physical pain in the form of joint pain, and also having those digestive issues that you mentioned. So this kind of all became a passion of mine. Like once I realized what was wrong with me, as we all do, we become a little bit preachy. So I began to become a bit preachy, and I want everybody to know that if you feel unwell, if there's something wrong with you, there is ways you can fix it, especially outside of mainstream medicine. So I know you guys are fully aware, I'm fully aware, and a lot of your listeners will be fully aware, like what you're putting in your body makes a massive, massive difference to how you feel and how you function. So part of my message, what I like to share is like, if you're eating a certain way and you think it's the best for you, but you don't feel good, there are other things you can try. And that's kind of what I'm trying to share through my little journey over here.
That's huge, man. And I know you try lots of things. I've seen some of the shakes you make. Why don't you share some of these shakes you make? Because they're kind of off the wall.
Yeah, they're pretty gross. I mean, what you're talking about there is, as you mentioned, I was vegetarian for a very, very long time. I got easily caught up and wrapped up in that rhetoric of meat is bad for you, animal products are bad for you. Meat sits in your colon for, decades before your body can excrete it and all that. And all the while I was believing that, I was just getting sicker and sicker and sicker.
Yeah.
So as you said, fast forward, I discovered the Bulletproof Diet and Bulletproof Coffee and, the low carb, high fat thing, and immediately started changing my diet to be more in line with that kind of way of eating and started feeling the benefits straight away. And then I think like a lot of us do on this high fat journey is we eventually, move towards the keto diet because initially it feels really counterproductive, like eating so much fat. It's like, oh my God, this can't be good. But once you start eating all this fat and you realize actually it is good, a lot of us end up in the keto world. And then like we're seeing a lot of people these days, we end up going to the even more extreme and going pure carnivore. So that's what I did, about a year and a half ago. I took the plunge and went strict carnivore. And that's when the changes really came. My joints completely healed up. My digestive troubles completely disappeared. All my strength came back. All my mental and physical energy came back. And I'm working out again. I'm running in the mountains, I'm sprinting. And, you know, part of that journey has been to eat, you know, as someone we all know, Paul Saladino talks about a lot, eating nose to tail, you know, so eating everything you can get your hands on, the organs, all the muscles, the bones, the joints. So for me, I kind of biohacked, well, I hacked my way into eating more organs because I can't stand the taste of them. So what I'm doing is I'm blending raw liver, raw beef liver and fish eggs into just with some water and some ice in a blender and just drinking it down in one shot really, really quick, like a meat smoothie, as it were.
How often do you do that?
I try to do it maybe 4 times a week. You know, I don't go absolutely crazy on it. There is a little bit of evidence. From my understanding that, you know, too much, I think it's vitamin A, can cause issues. And the incredible thing about beef liver is that it's so nutrient dense. It's unbelievable. You know, once I learned how nutrient dense beef liver is, I was like, oh my God, I have to eat this. Yep. I don't care. Like I try to cook it a number of different ways. And it's, to me, it's disgusting. so the easiest way was to blend it raw and drink it down. It's over in 20 seconds. And, you know, the burst of energy afterwards is incredible.
Wow.
That's unreal, man. I want to talk a little bit more about your personal story because you've done different approaches and you've obviously transitioned from plant-based to animal-based, but I'm more interested now too because you've seen all these benefits, you know, to your joints and all these other things. How has your training evolved over the past, let's say, 4 to 5 years? Because I know that's when you started doing low carb. How does your training look now?
Man, it's completely different. You know, as you mentioned there, in my teens and my early 20s, I was all about the gym. You know, that's obviously, I was so young. I was eating, you know, what we call the standard American diet or the standard Western diet, you know, eating the bread, the pasta, the tuna, the, you know, the chicken breast salads, all that stuff. And I was working out and I felt great, but I was, you know, I was chubby and, you know, didn't imagine that I would ever be able to get lean. And then I discovered vegetarianism about, you know, about 10, 11 years ago now. And I went vegetarian. And about the same time, I started practicing yoga. What happened was I had a back injury.
Okay.
And nothing was helping. The doctors weren't helping. The physios weren't helping. So I was just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And a girlfriend at the time said, let's go to yoga. And this was, you know, I've been practicing yoga now for about 13, 14 years.
Wow.
And it really helped my back. It made a massive difference. But I went vegetarian at the same time I went yoga. So while I was practicing yoga, my health was slowly deteriorating, which means I had to give up working out completely.
Wow.
And I mean, towards the end of my time as a vegetarian, I had to even stop doing yoga because my wrists were in so much pain, man. I couldn't do, you know, a simple downward dog without getting serious wrist pain. Every now and then I would say, because my passion is working out. I love lifting weights. So every now and then I would be like, okay, I'm going to, you know, get back into push-ups or get back into pull-ups. And the muscle pain and the joint pain that would result from that would mean that it took me weeks to recover.
That's brutal.
So working out was impossible. I stopped lifting weights for 10 or 12 years just because I couldn't. And, you know, when you're in your mid and early 20s and your body's failing you like that, I mean, you know, the thoughts that you have to deal with is like, Jesus, I'm like falling apart already. This is crazy.
Man.
So, you know, fast forward to where I am now, carnivore. Well, I'm not completely carnivore anymore. I mean, you know, I live in Guatemala, so I have, you know, I have an abundance of avocados. So I have an avocado usually with my steaks or with my meat. But now I'm like I say, I feel like Terminator, you know. I'm like 36. I have zero body pain. You know, I'm running sprinting hills with weight vests on, sometimes carrying kettlebells, like literally like killing myself in a workout and then waking up the next morning and feeling amazing. No pains, no aches, a little bit of muscle pain, but, you know, red light therapy is taking care of that. And putting on muscle and leaning out like I never thought was possible. It's like, it's a miracle, quite frankly.
It is a miracle. I feel the same exact way. And I feel that. The same way about the avocados currently because a neighbor of ours actually brought us like
Florida.
Florida. Yeah. She has a tree.
Ones.
And so
those
you know
are probably the
like,
ones you get too. Or yeah, they get Hass.
No, they get Hass too over there. But yeah, so I've been having some avocado with my meat as well. But I find the exact same thing to be true. I was never vegan, but I did have a stint with vegetarianism. I did eat eggs and fish, but I mean, nothing can compare to just being able to literally stuff my face until satiety and not have to worry about gaining weight, feeling full, feeling lethargic. So good stuff.
It's so crazy. And I mean, I know you guys get this and I get this a lot. You know, people are like, hey, man, like, what's wrong with a couple of vegetables now and then? And I'm like, well, you know, for me, like I went extreme vegetables and it ruined my life.
Yeah.
And now that I'm extreme meat and I'm feeling better than I ever have, it's like, I probably could have some broccoli from time to time.
Right.
I could probably enjoy a salad, but it's like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
What for? It's just taking up space on my plate. The meat and the organs is giving me way more nutrition than any plant ever will. So why bother? Why waste my time? You know, I don't miss it.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm, you know, like, keeping myself from something that I enjoy. So for me, it's like, it's no loss. I don't care.
Right, right. You're not like, oh man, I wish I could have that broccoli right now after you have your steak. It's true. It's a little easier to stay away. So before we get into the red light therapy, we are totally fascinated by people who choose to leave the traditional rat race lifestyle and lead a less traditional, but more fulfilling lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You're originally from South Africa, but you're now living in Guatemala as an expat. Why did you leave and what did you hope to gain from this move?
Well, when I first left South Africa, I mean, I was really, really young, right? I left South Africa when I was 18 years old because, unfortunately, South Africa is in, you know, has been in a very tough political situation for a very, very long time. The economy, it's just, it was really, really, the prospects weren't that great for me, you know, being a young man in South Africa. So I'm lucky enough to have a European passport. So I headed straight to Europe as soon as I finished high school and settled in the UK for about 16 years. On and off, I lived in various places around the UK. I also lived in Australia for a while. And during this whole time, I spent a lot of time traveling to Mexico, traveling to Guatemala. And, you know, when I first came to Mexico in, I think, about 2009, 2010, like, I'd been in the UK for so long at that time that it shocked me again. I forgot that there's countries on this earth that are sunny every single day and warm every
single
day.
So true.
And, you know, I kind of forgot about that. And yeah, and I mean, living in the UK is brutal. It's so difficult, man. Like, the economy is great. You can make a lot of money. You can travel Europe. It's, you know, it's coming from South Africa, it's a great option. But after a few years of not having consistent sun, I realized, like, this is actually making me really, really sad. I was becoming aggressive because, you know, living in London at that point, it was so intense, man. You're constantly fighting for your little bit of space, whether you're, you know, on a bus or on a train or in a supermarket. I just kept dreaming about, you know, that vacation that I had in Mexico where the weather was perfect every single day. I spent the last 5 years working hard and changing my career and learning more about what I really cared about, you know, health and wellness, because I was previously a carpenter. I spent most of my adult life working as a carpenter in the UK, making great money, but then using that money to leave the UK, you know, it became clear to me that it wasn't where I wanted to be. So to waste any more time there would be, you know, is the opposite of a biohack. It's, you know, it's like digging yourself an early grave. So about 6 or 8 months ago, I came down to Guatemala. You know, being in Guatemala, it's a whole other story. But here I'm in Guatemala, living on a mountain, working in the wellness industry, not only in red light therapy, but I'm teaching yoga. I've just qualified as a strength coach, you know, now that I have my strength back. So I get to share my passion, you know, in numerous ways within the health and wellness industry. And it's, I work every day, but I'm doing what I love. So it doesn't feel like work.
That's awesome, man. What about, I'm curious as to, like, you know, the certain things, like, let's talk first about, you know, your access to different meats and things like that. And just typical Western spoiled creature comforts that we have. Like, how has that been? Cause I'm always curious about that. Cause this is always in the back of my mind, something that I'm always considering.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had exactly the same concerns with you. You know, when I knew I was coming, I mean, I decided to move to Guatemala before I was carnivore, right? And then when I realized I was moving to Guatemala, I was like, oh, geez, man, I wonder, like, what's the meat situation going to be? You know, you always expect the worst of a third world country. You expect the worst. But I'm super lucky. We have incredible meat here. It's mostly beef and, you know, different kinds of cattle. I'm not sure exactly what the breeds are. But there's a lot of grass-fed animals available here, which is amazing, you know. So I've, you know, had to spend a little bit of time researching and talking to people and, you know, translating the cuts of meat, because what I've realized is that down here, they cut the meat in a completely different way to what we're used to in the States, you know.
Interesting.
So I've had to kind of take a little, learning curve to be like, okay, well, you know, you see something in Spanish, then you Google it and it tells you one thing, then you buy it and it's actually the other thing. So sometimes when I thought I was getting some steak that I could fry, it turned out to be meat that I needed to, you know, turn into some kind of a stew.
Oh yeah.
But there's great providers down here that are growing, raising some grass fed free range cattle. There's a great amount of pork. There's obviously chicken, but I mean, I don't do a lot of chicken. And I've got access to fishermen, you know, that are pulling the fish straight out of the sea. And, you know, I have access, I mean, not where I live right now, but I go down to the beach a couple of times a month and, you know, I always stock up on all I buy is fish eggs. I don't really eat fish. I think, you know, the cost is the same as beef and I prefer beef. So I just buy beef instead, but nice. I do get the fish eggs, you know, for the omega-3s and all the rest.
Brilliant, man. All right. Let's get into red light therapy now. Cause you know, red light therapy, also known as photobiomodulation. We know mm-hmm. that this is a form of light therapy that uses light in both the visible and infrared electromagnetic spectrum. And the whole idea is that there's this therapeutic dose of light to like some sort of impaired tissue or dysfunctional tissue. It leads to a cellular mm-hmm. response mediated by mitochondrial mechanisms that reduce pain, inflammation, they speed healing. So if you had to break it down into like 3 to 5 main areas where people can see the most benefit of red light therapy and infrared, what would they be?
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. Everything you said there, I just want to touch on those mechanisms real quick.
Oh,
again,
yeah.
Because,
please.
You know, when I first came across red light therapy, I also was like, what? How can light do all these amazing things? You know, it does sound on the surface like very, very weird. So, you know, you mentioned it there. So we've got two main wavelengths that we're using now industry-wide in red light therapy, and that's the red wavelength, which manifests as red. So, you know, we call it red light therapy because it's bright red and everybody can see it. But the other very beneficial wavelength is the near infrared wavelength, which is invisible. Now, both these wavelengths of light come from the sun, amongst many other wavelengths. Of course, you know, all the wavelengths of light come from the sun, but these two have been found to be the most beneficial to the human body. And there's two things that people should be aware of when we get started, and that these two benefits, which I'm going to explain now. So the first benefit is, so this red and infrared light touches your skin. It penetrates your body to a depth of about 5 centimeters, about 2 inches, which already is quite interesting because almost all other colors and wavelengths of light get reflected by the skin or they get absorbed in the very, very first layer of skin. So red and infrared lights are penetrating your skin 2 inches deep, and this light is then touching all the cells, getting absorbed by all the cells and all the mitochondria within those cells, you know, the mitochondria being the energy producers of the cells, you know. So the cell needs energy to do its work, which then translates to the tissue has that energy to do its work, and then the effects ripple out. So when the mitochondria absorbs these two wavelengths of light, two things are happening. The first thing that's happening is these mitochondria get a boost in energy. So as we all know that you eat your food to be broken down by your body, which ultimately feeds into your mitochondria, which gives the mitochondria energy. This light is doing the same thing. It's like, you know, it's like food for your cells that comes from light. So the light hits the cells, increases the energy production inside the mitochondria, and then everything, you know, gets a big boost of energy after that. And the second thing it's doing, which is super interesting, it's a form of hormetic stressor. And a hormetic stressor is like exercise, fasting, cold therapy, heat therapy, anything that you can kind of do to your body to temporarily shock it. So you're like almost like injuring it, you know. So you know when you work out, you're kind of injuring your muscles, you're tearing the muscles up, and then they come back bigger and stronger because they realize like, hey, like whatever's going on, we need to be bigger and better to handle the job. So red light therapy does the same thing. It temporarily stresses your cells, breaks them down ever so slightly. And in this process, your cells come back bigger and stronger. Certain proteins are released, certain enzymes are released, and natural anti-inflammatories are produced and released. And then they go into the blood. And then these anti-inflammatories, not only do you get the benefit in the area where you're shining the light, but you also get, you know, secondary benefits running throughout your body as those anti-inflammatories and those proteins go into your body and then heal and benefit everything else. So that's it. And then as far as the benefits go, everybody, you know, everybody responds differently. You know, as we know with diet and exercise, you know, one person can run sprints and build massive muscle, while the next person has to do massive squats to build the same muscle. And it's the same with red light therapy. Personally, what I've noticed the most is reduction in joint pain. I mean, you know, going for me, the most incredible biohack has been to go carnivore and use red light therapy, because something crazy has happened to me. I started losing my hair in my early 20s. So I started shaving my head, and you know, I don't really care about it, but I've, you know, you keep your eye on your hairline, and I know my hairline is moved back to the center of my head, unfortunately. And since going carnivore and using red light therapy, my hair is growing back on my head. It's absolutely crazy.
No way. That's crazy.
I swear to God, I thought I was hallucinating. I was brushing my teeth one morning, like looking in the mirror, and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting dark hairs growing right where my hairline used to be, like 5 years ago. And so I've been keeping an eye on it, and lo and behold, man, like, I mean, it's still thin on the top. Obviously it's going to take years, but the hair, I'm getting black hairs growing back on my head. It's phenomenal.
That's amazing.
Never know, you grow your hair back. Maybe you grow your hair back within the next couple of years.
Get a hair on like you, Danny. That'd be a joke. Man, that thick, dark hair. I'd love that again. But I just think that's like, I mean, it's obviously not one of my goals, but I think that's a hell of a side effect. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I haven't Googled it, but we both know that there's men and women out there that are like freaking out that they're losing their hair, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So one thing that red light therapy has been shown to do in the science is it doesn't, you know, cause you to grow hair back. If you're balding, what it does do is it causes the growing cycle of the hair to be extended. So what that means is, you know, whatever hair you do have, you know, hair grows in four cycles, generally speaking. And then the last cycle, of course, is when the hair falls out, and then it's replaced by a new one. But of course, if you're balding, it just falls out and it doesn't come back. But what I think has happened with myself is that because I've flooded my body with proteins and amino acids and the good fats and cholesterols, you know, over a few years, and now most recently is strict carnivore the last year and a half, when you flood your body with this protein and these aminos, everything gets better. Because we all know this, you know, the sound bite. Protein is the building blocks of life, you know, so which confuses me. Then why would you go vegetarian? or why would meat be bad for you? Because, you know, when I started thinking about it, I was like, you know, flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood. I am meat. I am bones. Right. Yeah. I am fat.
Right.
Why would I think that my body doesn't know how to use it? So I think when I started flooding my body with all this goodness, that's why my joints got so much better. That's why my muscles started growing. And, you know, the hair and all that is made of protein and fat as well. And my hair is growing back. So it's been an absolute crazy journey in that sense. But sorry, I'm rambling a little
bit. No, that's okay.
Trust me, there's a lot to get through. So that's why we want to get
into it. We want to hear all about this, man.
Yes, don't worry.
So another amazing benefit, which I have noticed myself. Look, I'll say this. If you have a particular injury or a particular condition, that's what I would tell someone to focus on. So in the context of red light therapy, let's just say this weekend I was doing a strength coaching course. We were working a lot on squats and pistol squats in particular. So I've woken up this morning and I can feel my thighs. I can feel my quads. You know, they've been through some work. So how do I utilize red light therapy in that context? So this morning I spent some time in front of my lights, shining the lights on my legs. Because what I want is I want the cells of the muscles of my legs and my bones and my knee joint and the cartilage and the tendons, everything there, I want them to have a boost. I want them to get a head start in the healing process. And that's what red light therapy is good for. So in this context, I'm shining the lights on my quads, giving them a little bit of boost in cellular energy production and those natural anti-inflammatories. And that's exactly what you want when you're building muscle or trying to repair broken tissue. You want more energy for those cells to do their work, and more anti-inflammatories to soothe the inflammation and to process, you know, all the negative aspects of that that situation.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Sorry, really quick, how long are you doing the light for muscle soreness, for example?
That's a great question. So you mentioned earlier in your introduction to red light therapy that there's a biological dose. And this is quite important. I mean, you don't have to know this because you're never going to be forced to sit down and do the calculations yourself, because, you know, my company, we've figured out the calculation, and that calculation is how powerful is your light? how much energy is coming out of that light and how far away are you standing from it. Because the cells of the body can only absorb so much energy in one time. You know, a nice example, a parallel that I like to draw is if you're in the sun, if you're lucky enough to live in a hot country, the first few minutes of that sun exposure is when you're getting all the benefits, but then you start to sunburn and that's when the skin damage happens. Now, that's the parallel I like to draw, but I must say, of course, because people are going to start thinking, oh my God, am I going to get damaged by red light therapy? There is no UV, there is no reported damage or reported negative side effects, either in the scientific literature or anecdotally from any of our clients or anybody that we know. So red light therapy is completely safe. That being said, with the power of our lights, you know, we have a range of lights and they're all very powerful. No more than 20 minutes a day is what you need to get that full biological dose that we are referring to. So in the context of what I did today, we were doing pistol squats, we were doing one-arm push-ups.
Ooh.
And nice. So I was obviously favoring my right side being my strongest. So I got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of an uncomfortable shoulder this morning and some uncomfortable quads. No pain, thank God. So what I did was I did 8 minutes just on my right arm. So I did, you know, that's from literally, actually it was the side of my face all the way down to my right fingertips. You know, the light's quite big. I did 8 minutes on my right arm, just giving that, bringing that energy and that anti-inflammation to my right arm. And then I stood up and I did my quads. I did eight. I was timing it 8 minutes, but I ran over. So probably about 10 minutes on my quads. And then I did a little bit on my face, my chest, my head, just for another couple of minutes after that. And I'm done. I walk out of there. I don't have to think about it again until tomorrow.
That's fantastic, man. I'm redoing my morning routines and my evening routines. And well, evening routines, I've never had one. So I'm trying to establish one.
Right, establish.
So it's good to know, you know, I want each routine not to be like this massive thing that's going to take
hours
and hours. Yeah,
exactly.
The morning one is already.
The morning one's long.
It's
the
already
evening
pretty
one,
long.
I've settled on this.
The evening one, yeah.
I'll tell you this because you haven't heard this, but what I want to do is bring meditation back in the evenings. Uh-huh.
Right.
In the sauna. And then I would do my juve in the morning or juve. Mm-hmm. See how I automatically say juve? You see, man?
It's kind of like, well, it's kind of like how I call all keto coffee bulletproof coffee.
Yeah,
my thing too. Like I call it, like that's just how I learned it.
Yeah,
like,
that's the first
because we were paleo.
Exposure.
Yeah, we were paleo in like 2010, 2011.
Yeah,
and that's what it was, bulletproof coffee.
Yeah, and we're so gonna get into the differences too, because you know the first difference, of course, is the fact that I purchased the second smallest Juve light, which was $700 something.
Right,
and right, Brian's true. the red light rising, the largest one, which is comparable to the largest Juve light.
Wow.
It's just like $100 more. Mm. So, I mean,
you're getting way more.
Way
surface,
more.
Yeah.
But so I want to do 20 minutes of reading to my boys, 20 minutes of reading for myself, quick journaling, and three top things I want to do the next day. That's it.
Cool.
So ends up being like an hour.
Yeah. I was going to say, that sounds like it's about an hour already.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah. So
that's doable.
So we're going to keep digging into this. And so one of our areas of frustration is that we understand how powerful this modality can be, but we are totally clueless as to how to maximize its benefits. So we wanted to pick your brain on how to use the red light and infrared therapy to impact all these different areas. So let's start. Maybe you talked a little bit about, you know, the muscle soreness and stuff like that. Let's start with deep sleep and sleep quality in general. Have you experimented in this area? And if so, what have you found to be effective in terms of protocols we can use here?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm also like you guys, constantly, you know, messing things around, changing things up, trying things out. And, you know, I use the Oura Ring. I think you guys are using that as just to track sleep and see what goes on. In the context of sleep, what I found, now again, I need to say that it's different for everyone, because one of my friends uses his takes his red light therapy right before bed and sleeps like a baby. But now if I take red light therapy directly before bed, I feel too energized.
Yeah, I feel like it's too bright. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I've had a little coffee and then I'm lying in bed like, you know, I'm not uncomfortable. I'm not freaking out, but I've got a little bit of a movement going on. I've got a little bit of a buzz in my whole body, you know, and that speaks to the energy production. Because if you're blasting your body with this powerful light just before bed, you're obviously going to be energized. So what I do, and I always encourage people to experiment, you know, if you have access to Aura, things like that, you know, track things, monitor. types of things. But I use red light therapy at about sunset. Okay. You know, so I live quite close to the, well, a lot closer than I used to live to the equator. So my sunsets and sunrises are pretty stable throughout the year. So you're talking about, you know, 7 a.m. sunrise or a little bit earlier, and a 6 p.m. sunset or a little bit later. So if I'm going to use red light therapy at night, that's when I use it, because that's when it's, you know, it's, we need to think of the, at least the red side of red light therapy to mimic the sun if we're using it in the context of sleep, because these messages that we get from the sun, whether it's early in the morning or late in the evening, is either a message to wake up if it's bright, or in the evening during the sunset, the reds and the oranges and the purples, that's the message to the body that it's time for sleep. So I use my red light around sleep time, around sunset time, sorry, and not for very long. I keep it to a minimum because of that energizing effect. You know, I feel like there's like a, there's a knife edge, you know. So what's amazing about red light therapy is that we know that not only does, you know, the brain produce the melatonin, the sleep hormone, to put us to sleep, and it gets those signals to produce melatonin from the lack of blue light and the, you know, the occurrence of the reds and the yellow lights, we also produce melatonin in the skin. So that's why it's cool to get some red light on your skin at night, just to give those skin cells a little bit of a boost, not necessarily skin cells, sorry, but just to give the cells of the body a little boost and a little nudge to start producing some extra melatonin, which of course we know, you know, the more melatonin you have, hopefully the better you're going to sleep.
Very cool, man. And I know you told me that you played around with that protocol that I told you that Anthony J gave me about, and it was infrared only. And you said you only did one side, or you did both sides?
I did one side just because I was using a half stack, which is, you know, a middle-sized light, but it's still giant. And I just had no way to kind of position it on the other side. So I only had it on the one side. And I, like you mentioned to me, it was just infrared. So I did the experiment, you know. And now, here's the thing. I'm in the process of hacking my own sleep. So I've got a number of things I'm changing. So I can't, you know, pinpoint and say, oh my God, it's the red light, I mean, the infrared light on the side of my head that worked the magic. But as you know, after the day after I did that, you know, I held the half stack about 30 centimeters, which I don't know what that is in inches, unfortunately, but about 30
a foot and a half, maybe a little bit more.
Actually, yeah, I'm looking at it. You're right. Yeah. About a foot. I had it a foot away from my head. And it was just the infrared setting. So that's just the invisible light. And I was literally, you know, watching Netflix in bed, and I had this infrared on the side of my head, and I had the highest deep sleep recording according to my Oura Ring that I've ever had.
Wow.
And yeah. I've been struggling with deep sleep for a while. So I'm trying a number of different sleep protocols, which, you know, some of them are overlapping. So I do have to isolate out one or the other to see which one brings the most benefit. But something that I've realized, which is a definite, is that I've shifted my fasting window to start at lunchtime. So I have my last meal at lunch, and then I fast the rest of the day and overnight. And that's definitely helping my sleep. And using some red light therapy at sunset is definitely boosting it as well. So that's been really exciting.
Very interesting to hear. The food thing, I think, has so much. I think that's like the main thing.
It is.
When it comes to sleep problems, we've noticed that most people say when they've resolved it, that it's cutting off their eating early.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that, because since I started tracking with the Oura, you know, I was like getting, no word of a lie, 5 minutes of deep sleep a night, 2 minutes of deep sleep a night.
Wow.
Sometimes my REM sleep would be like 4 hours long.
Wow. Interesting.
But my deep sleep, like, and obviously when you're working out, and now that I have my strength back and my focus is turned back to strength training, you need that deep sleep, man. You know, that's when the muscles get all the repair work done.
100%, man.
So I'm super excited about that. But, you know, I'm gonna continue experimenting. So, you know, I might isolate out certain other things I'm doing. You know, I've actually just got a chili pad, which is really exciting.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you guys, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
it cools the bed down, right?
Exactly. And it's got an adjustable temperature. So I've only had 2 nights with it. And both nights the temperature was too low. So I woke up freezing cold. So I need to just adjust my temperature to find that optimum. But I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome, man. Well, what about like the different wavelengths? Because we understand there's optimal wavelengths depending on what you're trying to treat. Like, do you, we spoke about infrared at night possibly, or even red light plus infrared if you're doing it at sunset. What can you tell us about, you know, the different wavelengths and applications for each one?
Great. So the two most beneficial wavelengths, and that is to say that the two wavelengths that have been studied the most and found to bring the biggest range of benefits to the human body is the ones that we've discussed, the red and the near infrared. And there's literally, you know, I think like thousands of different wavelengths of light, and light is measured in nanometers. So the very particular red that we're talking about is 660 nanometers, and the very particular near infrared wavelength we're talking about is 850 nanometers. Now, they both have very, very similar effects. They both bring the same benefits to the cells of the human body, but where they differ is the depth. So very generally speaking, as a rule of thumb, red light doesn't penetrate the body much deeper than about a centimeter into the body. So what's that, about a quarter of an inch, maybe like that. So the red light, you know, is very beneficial for your skin and for the immediate layers underneath your skin. So what does that mean? That means that the skin cells are getting an increase in, again, cellular energy and anti-inflammatory, and that translates into that the skin, one of the jobs of the skin cell is obviously to produce collagen, which then fills out your skin, smooths your skin over. And, you know, science and, you know, our clients are thankfully reporting that they're getting a reduction in fine lines and wrinkles because the skin cells are getting this boost of energy, and they're producing more collagen, filling out the fine lines, smoothing over the skin and giving a more youthful appearance, which, you know, to me, it's not a big deal. I'm a, you know, it's not one of my main focuses, but to a lot of people, it's very important. You know,
yes, this is important.
Obviously, so. Our looks are important. Yeah.
For but the ladies.
Even more exciting about that is for the ladies. Even more exciting about that is that it also helps reduce the appearance of other skin conditions like rosacea, psoriasis, eczema, and, you know, scarring. It can even help with repairing after sunburn. So, you know, on the surface, it looks kind of a little bit superficial, but, you know, we've got a lot of clients that have rosacea, you know, the flushing of the cheeks, the red blushing of the cheeks. And for them, it's very, very uncomfortable. So if they can get relief from that condition, which, by the way, no medicine has been able to help, you know, you throw some red light therapy on the skin and they're seeing a massive reduction in the appearance of, you know, this blushing of the skin. And it helps with, you know, skin injuries, with scrapes and cuts and bruises and, you know, recovery after acne or anything like that. You know, when the important thing to remember is when your cells have more energy, everything gets better because your body just naturally wants to heal. But due to lifestyle factors or, you know, having an office job where you're under artificial light all the time or eating a standard American diet, your body, not only does it not have the right fuel to heal itself, it has to fight all the toxins that you're introducing into your environment. So, you know, when you negate as many toxins as you can, and then you boost your energy with the proper diet and the proper, you know, therapies like red light therapy, it's amazing what you can achieve.
That's amazing, man. I love hearing about all of this because it just goes to show, like, I feel like we're on the cusp of something. And I love, like I said, I've said this before, I love being on the cutting edge, you know, because all of this stuff, we're like experiencing it as the research is coming out, which is really, really cool. So you've spoken about wound healing, you've spoken about skin. Obviously, I think some people are aware of it. I've had clients of mine try it with great results. But why don't you talk to us a little bit about optimizing your hormone levels, optimizing steroid hormones. I don't know if you've personally done the whole shining it on your balls thing, but yeah, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great great question and a great point. So I'll just finish off our last thought there. So, you know, the red light is great for the skin and the surface.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about infrared.
Yeah, and the associated, I mean, it was my fault. I was rambling again. And the associated benefits with the red light, and then infrared light does very, very similar, but it does it at a much deeper depth in the body. So you're getting all that, you know, that light energy going through your body, but you're going to a depth in some cases of 2 inches. So now you imagine 2 inches, you know, let's just say through your stomach, or 2 inches through your skin, through your muscles, into your bones. So you're bringing this light energy to your organs, your glands, your bones, your blood, your muscles. And everything is getting optimized there. So you spoke of the hormones there. So whether it's your adrenals or, you know, the glands in your brain or the glands, you know, around your organs in your abdomen, once they, you know, in besides any, you know, toxins that you might be throwing into your body that your body has to work to process, outside of that, your organs and your glands are, again, they're getting this light energy. They're getting a little pick-me-up, a little bit of a boost. And provided there's nothing, you know, terribly wrong with, you know, your adrenals or whatever other glands, they're going to produce a more optimal balance of hormones, whichever hormones those might be in those particular glands. So, you know, a lot of our clients and, you know, and a lot of other people out there are using red light therapy just for that, to optimize their mood hormones, their feel good hormones, especially in the dark winter months, you know, up in Northern Europe and North America, in certain areas during the winter, this red light can be very, very beneficial for optimizing those feel good hormones and getting that serotonin, that dopamine flowing again, and just picking up the mood during the winter. And then the testosterone, of course, is something that's very close to home over here. Very important for men, especially, but for women as well, to have a healthy balance of those hormones. And I was shining the light on my balls for a while. and I do intend to do it again with some proper testing, of course, but I haven't personally done it myself. I know Paul Saladino's done it. I know Ben Greenfield's done it, and they both, you know, swear by the Bible that they've had incredible results with their testosterone. The last time I looked, I couldn't find any studies, although it was a while ago, I do admit. I couldn't find any studies confirming this, but with, you know, guys like Ben Greenfield and Paul Saladino, you know, confidently putting their stamp on it, I have no reason to believe otherwise. So it's definitely something a lot of our clients are doing it as well, having a good time with it. It feels great on the balls because it's, you know, it's gently warming, so it's nothing wrong with it. And by the way, it's really great for the females as well. You know, the ovaries and whatever else is going on down there, they also benefit massively. There's some really positive studies and anecdotes about, you know, increase in fertility for the ladies, you know, optimizing that cycle and just, you know, getting that reproductive cycle as healthy as it can be. Again, you know, I always like to stress, this is not a miracle cure. Yeah. You know, if you're living a sedentary life, you're right, eating rubbish food, you're doing a horrible job, you're not working out, you know, you hate your friends and family, you know, throwing some red light on the subject.
You hate your friends hate and your family.
I mean, that happens, man. That happens.
It does. People, it definitely does.
So true.
Red light's not going to fix any of that, for sure.
No, I mean, you're going to maybe get some better skin conditions. But, you know, you and I, we all know that, you know, this health game, it's not about the diet. It's not about
no,
the
No, it's so many things.
It's not
things.
About the fancy pills and the tech. It's everything, man.
It's everything.
Yeah.
It really is.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I moved to a mountain, is because I realized I was missing the sun. I needed the sun every day in my life. I needed the warmth every day in my life. I needed to get out of the rat race. I needed to get out of the pollution. I needed to get out of the job that wasn't fulfilling to me anymore. So, you know, I was recently in London, and people always ask me, what's your favorite biohack? And I realized my favorite biohack has been moving to a hot country.
Yeah, man. You know? See?
That's so true.
This is the stuff that, and it's usually the stuff that people don't ever consider either, because it's like, yeah, oh, I won't do that. Just give me give me 10 minutes a day on the light, right? Let me just do that.
Yeah. Well, look, if it's absolutely positively impossible for you to leave, you know, a lifestyle that might not, you know, be optimal for you, that's when the technology comes in.
Yeah.
So that's when I'm going to say, hey, cold therapy, red light therapy, you know, get the human charger if you're missing that bright light, get the Aura Ring, track your sleep, you know, get into the gym. You know, one, if you're positive that you can't change your lifestyle to what is best for you, then the technology comes in. You know, and I mean, the first thing I'd say is work out and eat right.
Yeah.
You know, because if you eat right and you work out, you're going to be optimizing a massive bunch of hormones right off the bat. And then you can start looking at a bit more technology. Then you can start looking at the supplements. But, you know, do the free things first. Do the easy things first. You know, with a little bit of creativity, you can work out at home and, you know, not have to go to a gym.
Yeah.
So there's all of those things.
Man, and I'll just add one more thing to that, because I noticed this is like consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency. Every single day, you know, because I think like when people don't have well-established habits, and the three-week thing doesn't work. To me, and I've seen recently, like a few years ago, they were saying that it's close closer to 6 weeks. So once you do something for 6 weeks, that makes sense that, okay, now you're getting closer to where this is a habit. But if you're not there yet and you haven't been doing something for a few months, you know, I mean, once you take a day or two off, all of a sudden,
you've
stopped.
That's it. You stopped.
I mean, it happened with me with jujitsu. I started traveling and I basically took 2 months off of jujitsu. And now I'm back doing it. But this is how you got to be with everything, because that's when these things start acting synergistically. And then, you know, I see it on my Oura Ring. When I'm strict carnivore, I'm meditating, I'm doing all this other stuff, I'm spending time outside, that's when I feel my best. But they all got to be in check. They all got to be working together.
Yeah. And you know what that is? There's one word for all of that, and that's discipline.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Right? 100%.
And to start the habit, you have to force yourself. You know, you need to write it down. You need to put it on sticky notes on your wall. You need to be thinking about it all the time, because to form a new habit, it's a pain in the butt, especially if you've got a family and everything going on. You know, to remember to take a cold shower, or to have a quick walk in nature, or to journal, or to read something interesting or inspiring, it takes serious, serious discipline. But the good news is, when you push through that discipline and that practice becomes a habit, that's when you stop thinking about it, because it's normal.
Yeah,
you know, it's normal exactly. to turn the hot water off and have a cold shower. It's normal to go for a walk and do some sun gazing. It's normal for me to work out at 3 p.m. Like, my body is almost like, it makes me look at the watch and it goes, oh, 3 o'clock, time to work out. You know, people say to me like, oh man, I've been using red light therapy for 2, 3, 4 weeks. I haven't noticed anything. What's going on? And it's like, yeah, you can't start eating healthy and expect results straight away.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you need to eat healthy forever. You need to use red light therapy regularly forever. Cold therapy regularly forever. Because every day you're optimizing your hormones just a little bit more, and those benefits start to compound. The next day you optimize them a little bit more, the benefits get bigger, you know, so on and so forth. And that's what we're doing. Like, by the way that we eat, the way that we work out, the way that we fast, the way that we get cold therapy, all of this comes down to optimizing the hormones.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. That's the bottom line, you know. And once your hormones are working as they should be, you don't store weight. You're not low on energy. You're not in a bad mood. You know, you hopefully don't get to any serious lifestyle diseases. So, you know, red light therapy is a very, very useful tool amongst all those other useful tools in any wellness warrior's toolkit.
And I'm glad that you're framing it this way, because it's true. Like, people, they get excited about new technologies and new quote unquote biohacks. But you got to do the hard work. You got to do this other stuff. I want to just one more thing on you know, the different applications. You know, I know you guys, I'm pretty sure I saw it on your website, or maybe it was one of the podcasts that you were on, because I had read this article that Rhonda Patrick had written, I think it was last year or the year before, on, you know, infrared I don't even know if it was infrared. I think it was just heat. But just how these things could enhance hypertrophy. And I know you've kind of touched on it, but basically what's happening is we're just the muscle cells that are recovering they have more energy. They're getting the nutrients they need. And is there anything else that I'm missing as far as like how we can enhance hypertrophy?
Yeah, not really. What I would add to that is, you know, what's happening in that extra energy is also some extra blood flow, right? So you're getting that vasodilation with the red light therapy. So you're getting more blood flowing through and to the muscles. That's bringing more nutrients there, more oxygen. It's helping to obviously get rid of, you know, the acid and, you know, the negative stimulants in that muscle. You know, hormesis, hormetic stresses. So yeah, it's bringing more nutrients, it's bringing more protein. And with that extra energy, it's more efficient at breaking down that protein and using it in the repair of the muscles. So it's just like turning up the gas on that, you know, already natural functions of the body. It's we can think of it as, you know, whether it's the adrenals, whether it's the muscles, whether it's the bones, the inflammation, the brain, the skin. We think of it all in the sense of whatever that particular cell, organ, muscle's job is. Adding red and infrared light therapy just optimizes what it's doing. So in the context of the muscles, you know, so what I would do is I would get a good red light therapy session before a workout to increase that blood flow, increase that oxygenation, decrease the whatever inflammation might be there. You have a really, really great workout. And then whatever your protocol is, you know, whether you're staying fasted after a workout or you're doing your protein loading after the workout, those benefits of that red light therapy pre-workout workout is going to be, you know, permeating through your muscles and your body for a few hours, you know, even up to like 10 or 12 hours later. And whatever you do after that, it, it just gets intensified by the benefits that you've just mentioned there. So yeah, it just brings optimization to those muscles. So they become more efficient at using the proteins and in the carbs, if you're taking carbs in to repair and heal those muscles and to bring more building material so the muscle gets thicker and bigger.
Love it.
Love that. I have a really quick question, just more of, okay, so we talked about the length that you're staying in front of the lights. How far should we stand from the light? Because I'm always, that's something that I never know.
Yeah,
I'm like, I always want to be close because I feel the heat, but I don't know if that's, I don't know if there's like an optimal, like, you know, distance that we're supposed to be standing from the, you know, the area we're trying to treat from the light.
So at the, when we say no more than 20 minutes a day, we are looking at a distance of about a foot away from the light. So a foot, and then if you were to go, let's say a foot and a half, you would then maybe increase it to 25, 30 minutes. And if you went the other way, so let's say you went half a foot away, which, I mean, I do that myself because it feels nice, you know, and sometimes we need a little bit of that placebo. We need to feel the warmth of the light on the muscle. And it's by no means is a placebo, because we know extensively through this, you know, the independent scientific research that it is doing all these things we've mentioned. But let's say for you guys, I would say take it down to about half a foot away, which means you're going to get less coverage, but it means you can, you know, if you're focusing on your quads or, you know, in the context of working out your arms or your chest, that half a foot, 10 minutes is all you'll need, you know, and you can maybe do 10 minutes on your quads and then 10 minutes on your spine or five on the quads. I'd say let's start with 20 minutes per session and split it up between the body parts that you would like to benefit, you know, so for the ladies and maybe for the guys as well, get 10 minutes on your face. Actually, get 10 minutes on your face anyway, because it's really, really good for your eyes. It's really good for your nasal passages. It's really good for your brain, because of course this, you know, the infrared light penetrates your skull. It increases blood flow in the brain. It increases the detox pathways in the brain. So, you know, you want to do whatever you can to stave off any toxification in the brain. And good for the glands and in the head as well. And the throat is fantastic. And then of course the chest, the organs, you've got a lot of important things happening in your abdomen. So get a little bit of light on your abdomen. I like to get some light on my spine. That always feels good. And once I've hit those parts, then I will think about, you know, a sticky shoulder or some sticky knees. If I'm going to go for a sprint in the mountains, something like that, you know, split it up with where you'd like to receive the benefits.
Okay.
If you're just chilling, you know, then just chill in front of it, face and organs is optimal.
Awesome. That helps. That helps a lot. That sounds great. Okay. So let's talk about some of the differences between some of the brands out there, because we've seen Juve, Saunaspace, and then of course your company, Red Light Rising. What are some of the differences between these brands and what is important to know when shopping for a red light device?
Yeah. So Saunaspace, as far as I know, are not doing red light therapy. So an important distinction to draw here, you mentioned Rhonda Patrick with the heat, and Saunaspace is, you know, they, a lot of them refer to infrared heat. Now this is different.
Okay. Yeah.
So with our lights, we're using red and near infrared light. Now the saunas like Saunaspace and Clearlight Sauna are using, as far as I know, far infrared light.
Yep.
Right.
Now, this is a far infrared light is a different wavelength of light. Very, very beneficial, but a different mechanism. So what far infrared is doing, it's again, it's penetrating your body, it's going nice and deep, but it's heating up the cells from the inside, causing you to sweat. So it's heating you up. I mean, fantastic benefit. I'm by no means saying, you know, forget about the sauna and just get the red light. It's very different therapies. Whereas the near infrared light is bringing the energy to the mitochondria to give them more energy. So it's two different distinctions there.
Yeah, that's important.
And then as far as Juve go, and there's obviously more than a handful of companies out there now, we're all doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So we have exactly the same technology. I mean, I can't speak for, you know, the other companies, but I do know that Juve is a fantastic product. I've got nothing bad to say about Juve. They've got an incredible product. They're also using 660 and 850, the same as us. The reason is because those have been found to be the most beneficial. Now, I don't know about Juve, but I know with Red Light Rising, we sometimes have doctors and therapists and very, very clever people that write to us and say, hey, I love the light, but I'd like 830 and 650. Can you do that for me? Like, yes, we can. We can put almost any wavelength of light inside the light But these, you know, are usually, you know, reserved for the people that are, you know, extremely specialist and are knowing exactly what they want to do. So with Juve and Red Light Rising, we're producing almost identical products. Both are fantastic products. The only real difference is, of course, like you mentioned before, the price point. Juve have got a fantastic product, very, very, very expensive. And that was, you know, like you said in the beginning, the reason why I can't afford a Juve and why we decided, myself and my business partner, James, decided to make our own lights because, you know, I'm sure the guys at Juve would agree, everybody deserves red light therapy.
Yep.
And we're just trying to, you know, just bring it a little bit more down to earth so that, you know, outside of the professional athletes and celebrities, right, you know, more people can get their hands on it because it makes a massive difference to people, you know, and more people need to get it, you know. So we're trying to make the best light we can. And I'm happy to say that we've had, you know, incredible reviews, you know, from Ari Witten. He really appreciated our light. The guy who wrote The Ultimate Guide to Red Light Therapy. Nice. Alex Fergus is a big fan of our lights. And a handful of other influencers has given us really positive feedback. So we're really happy with that. And we're just trying to, you know, keep the standards high in terms of production and quality and customer service, of course, while keeping the cost, you know, as low as it can and can be without, obviously, you know, being able to keep the company afloat.
That's huge, man. And that's what really excited me when we started getting on calls and talking about this, because I already had a Juve and, you know, I had purchased it, but man, I got this big one. I haven't gotten it yet. The full stack.
The full stack, exactly.
Yeah, the full stack is on its way to us and we're going to be doing a bunch of stuff with it. I did want to mention there was one more thing that we haven't talked about, and I wanted to just talk about it real quick because I know I'm doing jiu-jitsu now and I have some of my friends at my school are listening to our podcast and some of them train in MMA. And one of the things that red light can do, and I'm not sure if it's red light or infrared, I don't remember. You can help me with this one, is traumatic brain injury, you know, BDNF, you know, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. I'm not sure if it's increasing it or it's just causing it to express itself more, like in the hippocampus and these other areas. Have you seen anybody who's purchased it and used it for that and had any good results? Because the research is looking good. I'm just wondering if you're getting any feedback, like anecdotally.
Yeah, the research is incredible, like you say.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's something that I'm very, very excited about, because we can, you know, for healthy guys like us, it's super fun to talk about the muscle gains and the testosterone gains and, you know, the sleep gains. But for people that have brain injuries, this is life-changing, man.
Yeah.
This can mean the difference between, you know, the quality of life being, you know, a 3 or an 8, you know. So some of the research, which, you know, does translate into, you know, traumatic brain injury is, there was a guy in Australia. I mean, there's a handful of research now on it where they're, you know, the infrared light penetrates the brain. So far, it seems to be the infrared light because the red light tends to get absorbed in the skin, whereas
yeah,
the infrared light will penetrate the skull. The research is showing the front of the skull is better to shine the light on, and it's helping the brain, again, go through its natural processes. It's supporting it and optimizing it by just bringing more light energy, more blood flow into the brain, and helping the brain, you know, in the context of Alzheimer's, for example, it helps the brain detox those amyloid plaques, which is what's blocking up the synapses, you know, between the nerve endings in the brain, which then ultimately stops the signal from going through. And that could be, you know, the difference between being able to move your arms and legs, or being able to speak, or, you know, to express yourselves in other ways. And it's very, very similar to what you previously mentioned about BDNF. It's just supporting the natural production and boosting it, you know. So like exercise will boost it, eating the right diet will produce boosted. Red and infrared light therapy is another way to give yourself an edge. There's I forget where the study came from off the top of my head, but there was studies showing that, you know, the sooner you can get to red light therapy after a traumatic brain injury, whether it's a concussion from sport or, you know, a car accident or something like that, the sooner you can get that infrared light onto your brain, the less likely you're going to have severe symptoms and long lasting effects. So We don't have anyone reporting back to us anecdotally using our product. We do have a brain specialist in Australia, actually. I've just realized. He speaks very, very highly of it, but he hasn't expressly said, I've noticed this benefit. Yeah, specific cases. It's admittedly, it's probably just a case of us asking because, you know, unfortunately, human nature is if something works really well, you know, you don't go back and report on it. It's only when something goes wrong. You go,
that's
hey,
so
this
true,
is
man.
Rubbish.
Yeah, it's so true.
So it's something actually you've reminded me there that we really want to pick up, you know, because we have now, you know, lucky enough to have thousands of clients. Many of them are healthcare professionals and many of them, you know, swear by the light. So that's a great point. I should start asking if we can get our hands on some feedback about that.
Oh, that'd be great, man, to put on the site. You know, I mean, I got to tell you, man, I'm so excited about this because there's this, our friend Judy Cho, we had her on the podcast. Her name on Instagram is Nutrition with Judy. And she's got this Carnivore 75 Hard, she's calling it, because there's Andy Frisella had like a 75 Hard thing. And it's basically like starts on October 18th and it ends on January 1st. And it's basically taking that last part of the year where people take cruise control. And I wasn't like really thinking about doing any kind of challenges or anything, but this has got me really excited. And I think what I want to do is hopefully I'll have the red light by then, because I'm envisioning turning my guest room into like this little oasis, because we have the sauna in there. We put the Juve light on my head on the floor, and then I could hang the full stack on the doorway, so I could be doing meditation and sauna while I'm getting the infrared on the crown of my skull while I'm meditating and doing the sauna, and then I do my red light therapy after. And that just seems like it's over time. I have a feeling over 75 days, if I can document the days that I do it, and you know, if I'm traveling or I miss a day, just put that in and then just take the results and share the results. I think that would be really
beautiful.
Interesting.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. That sounds like an amazing little biohacking room you got there.
Yeah. But I don't know. Mauro was shaking her head like no. So I don't know,
because my kids are always running in there. I was like, maybe in our room. I feel like we can maybe set it up.
Oh,
we have a lot of space. I was already thinking we could hang it in our bathroom.
But we can't though, because the problem is when we do our morning routine, Dean is still sleeping in our bed. Our 5-year-old still in our bed.
That's okay. Right.
We got to get him out. Like he said the other day that he wanted to sleep.
And then he changed his mind.
With his brother. Because they have a bunk bed. And
but when push came to shove, he was like, no, just kidding.
I told Maura.
I was like, what's up?
I texted her. I was with him. She was doing something with Desmond. And I texted her and I said, look, you know, our son just told me that he wants to start sleeping with his brother. He's, you know, it's safe for him. He's not going to be, there's nothing wrong with it. He knows that if he wakes up in the middle of the night to stay in the room, just go under in the bottom bunk with his brother. And then sure enough, later on in the day, Maura asked him about it and he was like, nah, just kidding.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You know, I mean, I don't have kids, but I've got a good friend of mine who was like sleeping with her kid, the mom and dad and the kid in the bed as well. And like, she said something to me, she was like, you know, like, so as adults, we get to sleep with our partner in the beds.
Yeah.
But we force our little babies to sleep by it's themselves true. In a room.
Yeah, no it's way. Like, I don't do it. Yeah, we co-sleep. We've never done it. Yeah.
That's why we've always co-slept, because especially as infants with the breastfeeding, it was just,
it was easier.
It's funny because people talk about safety and all that stuff. But for me, it feels safer and more intuitive to have the baby next to me because I mean, trust me, unless you're on like prescription medication or sleeping pills and stuff, of course, or drunk. Yeah. But if you're a healthy person, I mean, trust me, I'm not asleep. I'm sleeping, but when you have a baby, those instincts, they're kicked in. That baby makes a move and I'm instantly aware.
Yeah.
Whereas if they're in their room, I have no idea what's going on.
Exactly. I mean, after my friend said that to me, I was like, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
We send our little babies away, traumatize them, force them to sleep alone, and then we get to cuddle all night.
It's so true.
Absolutely crazy.
I know, right?
That is, hey.
Crazy.
Freaking good. Man.
And you know what? Even though like he seems like it seems like he's old because he's 5 years old. I mean, he's going to be out pretty soon. And then, you know, that percentage, you know, in relation to like the rest of his life, like, you know,
we're cool with it.
We're fine because we know that. Yeah, we enjoy it. And then it's over.
Anyways.
When it's over, I'll be sad.
We're never, but when it's time to go to bed, both of us are going to sleep.
Yeah.
None of us are like, nobody's, it's not party time when it's bedtime. Like it's sleeping time.
Yeah.
So
that's what happens when you have kids. It's like, Jesus Christ, I just want to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, so,
the mornings, yeah. midday, you know, all those other times.
Yeah, in the car.
Right, yeah, there's more room for creativity.
At the gym. No, I feel you, man. Feel
so,
you.
Like, hey, man. I'm like, oh, sorry, what were you going to say?
Nah, I was just going to ramble on. Then.
Well, I wanted to ask you, like, are there any areas that we've missed that deserve attention? Anything that you else you want to share specifically about red light or infrared, just anything that you think we've missed, because we want just people to just walk away from this knowing all the benefits.
Yeah, I mean, something that's quite important to share as well is that this is not just for people who have a condition,
yeah,
right? This is, it's like we mentioned so many times already, it makes everything better by bringing more energy and less inflammation to the entire body. So even if you're a healthy person already, you're doing everything else, you're eating a healthy diet, you're working out, you don't have any serious lifestyle diseases or any kind of injuries, red light therapy can still benefit you because you're still going to get that increase in energy and you're still going to get that increase in anti-inflammatories around the body. And as you know, like we're always trying to optimize our hormones and decrease inflammation. That's the goal of everything we do, decreasing the inflammation, optimizing the hormones. So, you know, even if you don't have any specific goals in mind, you're going to get some benefits. You're going to get some cellular benefits from this anyway. And if you have a particular issue that you're trying to figure out or a particular goal that you want to, you know, work towards, I would say do some research. Google it, you know, like Google your condition and red light therapy, Google your goal and red light therapy. And I'm very, very confident that you're going to find some positive news about your particular issue and the benefits that red light therapy can bring to you, for sure.
I love it, man.
Love it.
Well, where can people find out more about you, of course, and about Red Light Rising?
Awesome. So people can check out my personal Instagram if they want to. It's brian.goal on Instagram. And if they want to check out the company, it's redlightrising.co.uk. That's the website. They can find Red Light Rising on Instagram as well, at Red Light Rising. They can also check out my business partner. He's very, very knowledgeable on the subject as well. He's also a hardcore biohacker. Also into the, you know, low carb, high fat diet. That's James E. Strong on Instagram, at James E. Strong.
Awesome.
And I always think it's useful for people to check out our personal journeys, you know, because
of course
James and I are, you know, we're in this because we are health optimizers, because we're biohackers, because we're into the low carb, high fat. You know, we're last thing I want is people to think that, you know, I'm some fat cat sitting in an office somewhere just trying to make money out of, you know, every which way I can. I do my best. I mean, I walk the walk and then I talk the talk, you know,
and
that's
you do.
Something I'm trying to share with people and, you know, inspire people, not just, you know, in red light therapy, but everything else I do. My Instagram is pretty crazy. I think I try and, you know, I try and provoke and inspire and make people laugh. And, you know, if people can get some inspiration from my Instagram and from my journey, then that's always a fun thing to do.
Yeah, man. I just turned on notifications because I'm like, man, I haven't seen your stuff. I follow too many people. And I'm like, the first, I missed this. Oh, no, actually, I did see that one. That was 4 days ago, that massive bowl of all the different meats you got.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
I was meal prepping in Mexico because, again, Mexico, another place, you know, you do a little bit of research, you can find incredible quality meat there. So whenever I go to Mexico City, I got a couple of joints I go to. I stock up on the meat.
Were these sirloin caps that you got the in Mexico?
These were New York strip.
Oh, strip, man. But those fat caps look awesome on the strip.
Yeah, that was all New York strip. And then I spend an hour and I'll cook it all up and then cool it down, chop it up. And then wherever I go, I've got a bag of meat with me, so you know I don't have to be tempted into too many tacos.
Oh, dude, I just got, you're gonna appreciate this. What did I, my love, what did I just get in the mail today?
Biltong.
But what type
wet
of biltong?
Biltong.
Ooh, wet biltong.
Wet biltong.
You can't find wet biltong here.
Biltong's the best.
My buddy,
I haven't tried that wet one, so
yeah. So we're gonna have to open it up later because my friend.
Can you tag me in it? Huh?
Oh, for sure, man. I'll tag you in it. I mean, it's not gonna be the same because I know people are making it here. here like crazy. And they're mostly making dry biltong, but I had never tried. Actually, one of my friends is South African, and he played actually pro rugby for like 10 years in France. And
wow.
He sent me some biltong from South Africa when he went back home, because he's got a massive farm out there. And you never know what's going to happen over the next couple of years, because he's moving back to South Africa, and I wish him nothing but the best, because things are terrible for a lot of people out there, especially property. Just your confidence in property ownership and just is nowhere. Yeah, because they're not even paying people anymore for the property. But that being said, I had to tell you, because it was just I remembered I got two massive bags from one of my friends in the mail right before we got on. So
beautiful. And that is my favorite, you know, because like, I mean, I had some carne seca in Mexico, which is the dry meat, which is essentially biltong.
Yeah.
But it was so dry. Like in South Africa, if somebody gave you biltong that was that dry, you'd throw it away.
Yeah, that's like offensive.
You know what I think it is? It's the vinegar. I think it's the vinegar.
It's the vinegar, which makes it so good.
It almost makes it powdery. So the stuff that you got, I mean, it's like having a rare steak. You know, you've got rare biltong.
Yes, it's like
nice,
tender.
Soft in the middle. You know, the touch on the tongue is cool and cold, and oh my god, you're so lucky.
I wish I could give you some, man.
It's so good.
Oh man, that's gonna be delicious. Well, yeah, make sure you tag me in that if it's a company, you know, that's making it or whatever. It'll be cool to check them out and follow them. I'll be in the States next year, so it's super exciting to you know, link up with all these people and all these companies that I can, you know, get in touch with when I'm there and hang out and this and that.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to talk about when you start looking at all the places where you can set up booths and stuff. Anything that I can do, I know a lot of the people that are putting on these events, and I can introduce you to them and everything. And I'd love to hang out, man. I can't wait till we meet each other in person.
That'd be amazing.
But man, I just want to say thank you, man, because you know, for everything, for just the knowledge, and I can't wait to use the product.
So exciting.
And thanks for coming on, man.
Amazing, absolute pleasure. The pleasure is all mine. As you can tell, I love to talk and yak on for hours.
So, same here.
That's too, same here.
The pleasure is absolute mine. And obviously, needless to say, any questions you got about your light in the future, using it, this and that, you've got direct access to me at any time. I'd love to chat to you again.
Thank you, Brian.
So,
and we'll definitely be talking about, you know, doing some lives, like some live updates.
Oh, yeah,
me and you get on an Instagram live to talk about, you know, what we're both doing. I think that'd be very helpful, just because people really respond to how are you using it, you know?
Yes.
Like at first I was bothered by that, like, because people would ask me like what my macros are.
Yeah, but that's different. This is a little bit different.
But then I realized too, like, people just want to know how are other people using it, so I can say, oh, maybe I like that, but maybe I don't like that part about that.
Right.
Like,
Exactly. I mean, I love having those conversations, you know, because I mean, I've got a very unusual lifestyle. So, you know, if someone says to me, how do I use it? I said, tell me about your life first.
Yeah.
Where can you find 20 minutes? You know, is it morning, afternoon, dinner time? You know, that's the same with a workout. You know, if you're programming a workout for someone, it's like, well, when are you going to work out? How's this going to work? How long is it going to take? So I love having these conversations, man. So I really love the idea of an Instagram live. We can do like a, you know, maybe announce it, and then we can collect some questions from people, and then we can answer the questions on the little Instagram live, and people can tune in and just offer value, you know, just help people out.
Yeah. As soon as I get it, I'll reach out to you. I'll WhatsApp you, and we'll get going on it, man.
Awesome, guys. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see you guys.
Likewise, Brian. Thank you, man.
No problem.
Set us free.
turn us loose.